Well, welcome again, everybody. Welcome, everybody on Zoom at home. This is a very special Sunday for me. My first sermon. I get to do it in front of my family here. Please hold your applause till the end. We don't know yet. We don't know. So, guys, we're going to be in chapter 6 of Galatians today. So, just by way of a quick overview, the first part of the book of Galatians, Paul's pretty angry, okay? He went and he preached the gospel to the Galatians, and they very quickly turned from the gospel. There were false teachers that came in, and they were convincing the Galatians that they needed to go back to lawful works, specifically circumcision for justification purposes, to be justified in front of God. And this isn't true, and Paul got angry and he got upset. I think by chapter 5, he's starting to calm down. And so in chapter 5, we know these two lists that are very famous, the desires of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit. And then Paul in chapter 6 gets into sowing into the spirit, and that this is going to be difficult work, and it's hard work. This process of sowing in the spirit, essentially sanctification is what he's talking about. And he gets into how difficult this is. And what we're going to focus on is verse 9 today of chapter 6. And it says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." And that's going to be our focus in the sermon today, is not giving up, sowing in the Spirit. So I'm excited to do this today, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity, and even more so because this is home. Every 7 days I come back here now. Now that we're meeting in person, it's even better, baby. I love it. So would you pray with me, please? Lord, we're just so grateful that we can come into your house of worship, whether online or whether in person, Father, and that we can meet as a body, Lord, and that your Son is the head of this, Lord, that we can follow his guidance through the Holy Spirit. And we're just so grateful, Father, that your mercies for us are new every single morning. Lord, we woke up today with brand new mercies. We didn't even have to use the old ones from yesterday. Lord, we are just so grateful for you, for your sacrifice of your Son, and that we can live a new life today because of the work you've done. Lord, I pray that as I bring this message, that we have ears that will hear, hearts that are open to listen, and that you would work through me, Father, so that I and everybody under the sound of my voice would hear a message from you today, Father, that would encourage them and that would strengthen their walk, and that they would draw closer to you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Get situated here. It's my first time up here. I don't know if you knew that or not. So, as I've been preparing this message for the last few weeks, I needed to recruit a little bit of help. So, you know, I figured I'd ask my best friend, you know. I mean, we work side by side, day in and day out. We both strive to serve God and serve people the best we can together. This seems obvious, right? You know, you maybe think I'm talking about Nick, but you'd be mistaken. Now, Nick's a good friend of mine, don't get me wrong. Well, maybe more of an acquaintance, okay? But he's okay, I guess. But maybe if I said I needed to recruit the help of my homeboy, you'd know who I'm talking about. Cliff's my homeboy. It says it there. It's in all caps, so you know it's true. I was thinking about this picture on the drive here and thinking of how I could make fun of myself because Cliff looks amazing in this picture. You know, and what this picture reminds me of, it looks like I'm his agent and I flew out to sign him. It looks like I flew out to sign him to a 3-year farming extension deal. And he looks pleased to accept the offer. Yeah. But, you know, when I was thinking about sowing and reaping and who to ask questions, I figured who better than to interview than my farmer best friend. So, you know, I started with a few questions interviewing Cliff, and I just want to go over that with you. It's kind of a funny process. You know, we make a pretty interesting pair, Cliff and I. You know, I can tell the age difference from the very beginning of the interview. I said, Cliff, I need you to tell me a little bit about sowing. I'm from Baltimore. I can't even grow a garden. I can't even keep a ficus plant alive, you know. I said, Cliff, I need you to explain to me a little bit about sowing. And this is how I knew Cliff was much older than me. He said, you want me to tell you how they do it now? Because they don't do it the way we used to. Anytime you start with how we used to do it, I said, okay, Cliff, calm down. I said, simmer down, Cliff. Just answer the question, man. What's wrong with you? So we went on to explain this process of sowing. And Cliff, I know you're probably going to watch this at some point. And I'm probably going to get this wrong, but I'll just blame it on you. That's what homeboys are for, Cliff. So Cliff went on and he was explaining about disking and plowing and tilling and all this stuff. I said, Cliff, between the sow to the reap, you know, what's the process looking like here? He said about 7, and of course this is back in his day. It's much easier now, but I'm sure it's still very hard work. But Cliff goes on to say about 70% of this process in order to reap a harvest is all the sowing, all the work. This includes disking and plowing and tilling. And Cliff said, you wake up at 3:30 and often you don't go to bed until 11. And it's just this constant lifestyle of just hard work, constantly, constantly working. And you see the sowing that Cliff explained to me, it isn't much different in the difficult challenges that Paul talks about when we sow into our spirit. Sowing in the spirit, in the essence, is our process of sanctification. We're becoming more like Jesus. The more we sow and cultivate the fruit of the spirit in our lives. This is hard, hard work. Just as Cliff explained to me, sowing on a farm is. And over time, this is a grueling process for us Christians. And it's rightfully so that the first word of encouragement that Paul would offer to us is to not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. At first glance, I have to wonder to myself why we have to be told not to grow weary in doing good. If you think about it, I want to do good things and you want to do good things. Why would that make us weary? This is something that we want to do. We don't need to be told not to grow weary in doing bad things. Oftentimes we live in weary when doing the wrong thing. Meaning, not until something drastic happens do we normally change our behavior doing the wrong thing. It's so easy and natural for us to do the wrong thing for so long, even though we are continuously growing weary in doing so. But on the flip side, when it comes to doing good things, it's so natural for us to give up even before we get to weary. Often at the first sign of hardship in doing a good thing, we can easily make every excuse, every reason not to continue. And Paul knew that this was a matter of the human condition. He knew that above all else, our hearts are wicked. And he also knew that the good that I want to do, I do not have the power to carry it out. So for these reasons, Paul in this verse would first tell us that when we're sowing into the Spirit, we need good godly encouragement. Now I have a testimony of a really good friend of mine. His name is John Kolziski. My friend John is a pastor in Baltimore. He's been a pastor at the same church going on 30 years now. John married Dawn, a nurse practitioner that worked in physical rehabilitation. They had 4 beautiful little girls together. Now, as a side note, I now have 1 beautiful little girl. And that's not the weary of doing good that I'm talking about here. But so it was. John and Dawn were blessed with 4 of them. And so John was working in full-time ministry and Dawn full-time at a rehab center. And they were happy and raising their little girls. On November 1st of 2002, Dawn got in her car to drive to a friend's house for a morning walk. She did this often. This was a normal start to an ordinary day. But at some point during this drive, as she was in her small rental car, a very large truck failed to yield and hit her car from the side at an incredible force. Dawn was lucky to be alive, but would suffer a brain injury that would render her alive, but unable to literally do anything for herself. For the next 14 years, John would spend every day taking full care of his wife. 14 years. Dawn needed full-time, around-the-clock care. There was nothing that John didn't do for her every day, all day, for all 14 of those years. During all this time, John remained a full-time pastor and, of course, a full-time daddy to those four little girls. John told me many times throughout those years, friends, both Christian and secular, would urge him to move on. This is why we need good godly encouragement. I'm sure John told them in some way what he told me. And I quote, John said, "I always knew that whatever happened, God would make the best of it. I cannot begin to imagine the temptation of growing weary in John's situation, but he continued to do the good thing for 14 years. He was blessed to be surrounded by an immediate family, a church family, and a community that built him up and encouraged him throughout this time. We're coming up on the anniversary now. On June 26th of 2016, Dawn was finally called home to heaven. I asked John, "How'd you do it? How'd you continue day in and day out after all those years?" He told me, "I never gave up hope. I wasn't heroic. It was just the right thing for me to do." He said there was no other option. It's a good friend of mine. It's important to realize that there's a promise wrapped in the middle of this verse, in the middle of this sowing into the Spirit. Just as in John's powerful testimony of hope. Oh, boy. Can you advance that one for me, David? Just as in John's powerful testimony of hope, we must work with the end in mind. We need to be eternally minded. John's motivation wasn't to reap a harvest of worldly praise. John always had hope in mind. You see, if we're doing good to reap a harvest here in this world, then we need to seriously check our motivation. Sure, it is good to reap a worldly benefit from doing good things, but the reap in due season that Paul is talking about is eternal life. Just one verse previously, Paul says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Certainly, I do think that we can reap some worldly good in this process, but this should not be our motivation. John said he saw no other option. His only motivation was hoping and trusting in the Lord. John's testimony should serve as an example to us to enjoy the good in the work we are doing rather than doing the work just to get something good. I'll say that one more time. Enjoy the good in the work you're doing rather than doing the work just to get something good. As we sow in the Spirit, and we're encouraged not to grow weary, we do it with eternity in mind. In the last portion of this verse, Paul will encourage us not to give up. The takeaway here is perseverance is the key. I know a woman, a very godly woman. After dating her boyfriend for a little over 4 years, they got married. And only 3 months into their marriage, just 4 days before Christmas, her husband overdosed from drugs, died, and was miraculously brought back to life. Under so much distress, this woman made the powerful decision to to leave him 2 weeks later. She didn't want to enable his lifestyle, and she wasn't sure there was much she could do for him in his addiction, but to leave him to figure it out. There would go on to be 327 days of no contact between this woman and her husband. The entire time, she would be praying diligently that God would not only have mercy on him, but give him grace. She was praying that God would heal him. She routinely kept a prayer journal all this time, all 327 days. She would go through days and weeks of going back and forth on what to do, asking God for a sign, but all the while praying and trusting that God would show her the way. Although she was almost certain her marriage was over, she never gave up sowing in their spirit, allowing the Lord to minister to her in the most difficult and challenging time of her life. All the while, for those same 327 days, her husband did the exact opposite. He was sowing into his flesh. This man allowed his addiction to take full grip on his life. He would believe all of Satan's lies, and he was convinced that there was no reason to even attempt to get help, because in his eyes, there was no way things could get better, and certainly not his marriage. He had no idea, but this entire time, his wife never gave up. She was persevering in the spirit. As hard and as difficult as it was, day in and day out, she never gave up. She would later reach out to him, and he would go on a trajectory that would land him getting the help that he needed shortly after. And 18 months later, and only for the sole reason that this woman did not ever give up sowing in the spirit, because she persevered, her husband stands here right now talking to you. Perseverance is key. So Paul would offer to you that wherever you are at in your process of sanctification and sowing in the Spirit, we all need good godly encouragement. We must be eternally minded, working with the end in mind. And we must understand that perseverance is the key to all this. There was one final question that I asked Cliff. You know, I said, Cliff, I can't understand what you're talking about, man. I said, man, I'm from the city. I would never get up at 3 in the morning, work 18, 19, however, 30-hour day. I don't even know how many hours in a farm day. It's got to be different than my days. I said, Cliff, I can't understand. You're doing all this discing. You're doing all this. I don't even know what that means, man. Is that, I thought it was an Olympic sport, to be honest with you. I said, Cliff, you're doing all this. You know, you're having 20-hour days, and he loves it. I mean, you saw the picture. You put a pitchfork on him, and you can market that, advertise that on any farming thing you need. I said, Cliff, why? Why would you do this, man? It's crazy to me. I would never do that much work to possibly not even reap a harvest. Insects have come. He could have bad weather. Any of these things, Cliff told me. You do all this work, and you can have nothing. I said, Cliff, what would drive a man to do that? And Cliff, I love that homeboy. He had such a simple yet profound answer. Cliff said, because I love it. Because he loves it. Cliff's motivating factor is love. This is the first in the list of the fruit of the spirits is love. You know, I work with a lot of guys in recovery. Every week, every day. I sow into these guys because I love them. I don't do it looking for a harvest. like John, I have hope. I do it because I hope and I trust God. But I have no control over reaping a harvest whatsoever. It's been over a year with a guy recently. Sowing, just getting in work day in and day out. Sowing into our lives, trying to change them. This guy, when I was at the mission, stayed in the bunk next to me for 12 months. You get to know somebody pretty good. I know we got some military guys here. You can probably relate to that. You really get to know somebody good when they're 4 or 5 feet away from you all the time. You know, there was one time I can specifically remember. I called him on some nonsense he was doing. And he said, you know, you're the only person that would have the gall to just tell me about me. You know, good godly encouragement is what he needed. At times I was maybe a little blunt, but you know, you need that sometimes, you know. Just in March, right after this pandemic hit, this guy, 2 months after graduating the mission, is now dead. I can go on and on. I'd like to say, working in recovery, I lost a lot of good friends. I'd like to use that tense, as in it's over. You know, I lost them. That's in the past. But the reality is, the truth is, I'm losing. I'm losing. Every week I hear something. Every week. And this pandemic has made it worse, especially for people in recovery. But yet I continue to sow. Just like Cliff, just like John, I continue to sow. It's because I love it. I love those guys. There's no conditions placed on me loving those guys. Just like Cliff, there's no conditions. He might not even reap a harvest. It could be some random bugs that mess up his whole harvest. He's doing it because he loves it. John didn't place any conditions. His wife couldn't even talk to him. I'm sure there was no conditions on John's love for his wife, Dawn. And there's no conditions on the way that Jesus loves us too. He constantly was sowing into me. And he constantly is sowing into you. For the sole reason is because he loves us. For salvation, to be justified by what he did, his work. So if you're listening to this, and you're in a process of sowing, whether it be in a marriage that's challenging, a relationship with your brother, your sister, your parents, maybe it's in the workplace. God would tell you, do not grow weary in doing good. In due season, you will reap if you do not give up. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we are so thankful and grateful for your word. Father, we are so grateful that we have a family of believers here that we can receive good, godly encouragement from. Father, help us to persevere in the spirit, knowing that we will reap a harvest of eternal life, Father, if we just trust in you and follow you. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Allow this word to dwell in us, Father. Lord, we want heart change. We want life change. We want to persevere. We want to be like your son. Father, mold us in the spirit to be more like him, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.